Nice to be back. My kids are always asking, when are we going back to Hope? So, thank you. You know, when Dave asked me a few weeks ago if I'd preach, I said sure, and I started thinking and praying about it, and I was trying to get a little stressed because nothing was coming to mind. And the one evening we're having family worship, and I heard this song come on, and it was Chosen. And as we were listening to the words, I knew right away this was the topic. And then ironically, in the last 2 weeks, the last two sermons I've heard have been to do with the same theme, Chosen. So I was like, okay, God, I hear what you're trying to say. Let me bow our heads with prayer. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for the privilege to come and worship with you. I pray again for the Holy Spirit to be poured upon us, and I ask that you would speak through me, and that your message would be heard. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So the question we're going to try to answer today, or we will answer today, is why does God love me? Pretty simple question. But this is a question I've been asking myself over the last few months. You know, I know Jesus came. I know he died for our sins. I know salvation is a gift. But the question still, after knowing all that, why does he love me? I'm a sinner. I continue to make mistakes. You know, all those evenings where I come home from work and I just want to relax and I'm watching TV and a show comes on and I'm like, okay, I should turn that off and spend some time. And before I know it, I've fallen asleep and I miss my time. You know, too many times life distracts us. And then I go back to God and I say, why do you love me? I can't even give you an hour in the evening. I can't even spend time with you. But this question doesn't just go back for me that I've been asking myself the last few months. This question actually goes back decades. So about, dating myself, but about 30 years ago, when I was a youth pastor in Texas, I would speak in front of crowds and even my own youth. And I would always ask them this question to get a gauge of where the room was. And so I'd ask them this very simple question. If Jesus came today, would you go to heaven? How many of you think the majority would say yes? Yeah. You would think. And these are Adventist kids, Christian kids. On average, 50 to 60% would say no. You know, and it's something I got used to. And then about 10 years ago, I was speaking to the youth in Ontario. And I started with that same question. I'm like, all right, we're in a different country, different time. Let's see if it changed. I asked the same question. And I got the same response. And, you know, if you think about it, salvation, the story of salvation, the gift, the concept of salvation goes against what we think. Okay? A whole life, we have been taught anything worthwhile is worth working for. If you're going to do it right, you know, it doesn't matter. Whatever is worthwhile in life, you're going to work for it. Yet, we know that salvation is free. So that kind of doesn't make sense. It goes against what we're taught. Because in life, we expect that we have to do something to receive something. And yet, salvation is free. So we're going to come back and visit that in a minute. So if you've heard me speak before, you know I have kids. And if you didn't, I have kids. And I've had the privilege of being a dad 5 times. You know, and every time, including the first time, my daughter Katie, I remember when she was born, and minutes after she was born, I got to hold her. And you know, there was a love that came into me that I'd never felt before. I didn't think it was possible to love something this much. You know, it was a love that was different than I had for my wife, a love that was different than I had for my parents or my friends. This was a unique love. It was different. When I was holding her, I remember that I was like, there's no way I'm going to ever let anything hurt her, harm her, make her sad, unrealistic, but, you know. And then when the second child came, and the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, a unique love. My youngest, Isabella, loves to ask me all the time, "Daddy, who's your favorite?" She goes, "Me, right? I'm the baby." And I'll say, "Well, I love you all." She goes, "Yeah, but you gotta love someone the most." And I'll tell her, "You know what? Each one of you are different. You're unique. And I love you in a very different way. You know, my oldest is my oldest. My son's my only son. My Isabella is a baby." And the story goes on. There's a story for each one. Angelia, who was my first daughter after I lost my first two for a while. So everyone has a special place in my life. Well, let's look to Luke. If you turn with me to Luke 15. I'm going to come here a few times. Luke 15, starting with verse 11. And there's a story we have heard many, many times. But I think this parable helps us understand or gives us an answer to the question. So Luke chapter 15, verse 11, we're talking about the parable of the lost son. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The young one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set out for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to the fields to feed the pigs." Now, I was thinking about that, and I was like, if we put that in modern terms, today, if I was telling that story, it'd probably be the son of a billionaire who had everything. And that father would probably spoil him, send him to the best schools, best education, was pampered. He probably drove some really nice cars, had an expense account, took his friends and flew wherever he wanted, probably on a private jet. And that would probably be the equivalent of this story. And fathers, we love to do everything we can for his kids. I'm not sure I would give my kids everything that this father did, but he loved his son so much that he wanted to provide the best possible life. And he gave him everything. Now, being this father, I can't imagine, you know, he would be giving everything for his two sons, providing for them. So it probably came as a big shock. You know, I could see the son saying, "Dad, can we have a chat? Can we talk?" And dad goes, "Sure." Could probably take him to the study and say, "Yeah, so what do you want to talk about? You're going to die someday, and I'm going to get half. Can I just have that now?" I don't know about you if you're a dad, but for me, if my kids did that, I'd be shocked. And the joke would be on them because they wouldn't get much. But, you know, but in this case, this father probably held his hurt and his pain, probably looked at his son and said, "If that's really what you want." You know, and he agreed to it, not knowing if he was ever going to see his son again, not knowing anything, but he gave his son. And I could see his son probably driving off in this fancy car, you know, with all this stuff, probably expensive watches, expensive toys, money, and left, never knowing if he's coming back. Our Heavenly Father does that for us too. So our Heavenly Father wants the best for us. He has a plan for us. And it's a specific plan. But you know, when we go to Him and say, "You know what, God, I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way." You know, when we say, "God, I'm going to go down this route." And even He knows that that's the worst for us, that shouldn't be the route we go, He lets us do it. When we make choices, Maybe we take jobs. You know, maybe we're going to marry someone that God knows isn't the best person. Whatever it is, our Heavenly Father says, I love you. I'm going to let you make your own choice. And when I think about that, I think of myself as a dad. You know, my kids, I love them. Doesn't matter what they run into, I'd be there for them. But, you know, I couldn't imagine just giving them everything and saying, go, get out of my life. And yet, God allows us to do that. And then, when things go bad, what's the first thing we do, or a lot of people do? We blame God. I say, God, why'd you allow this to happen? God, why am I having to go through these trials? And it's not God. He allowed us to make our choices. And we're dealing with this. If we go back to Luke chapter 15 and continue at verse 17. It says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. And so he got up and went to his father. Now, like I was saying, we wait until everything goes horribly wrong in our lives to finally say, God, I need you. In the story, the son lost everything. You know, and to get to the point he got to, he probably had to sell his cars. I'm making it a modern day parable, so he probably would have had to sell his cars, pawn his watches, pawn all his belongings. And after all that ran out, he was still broke. And my guess is this son who was given everything had probably never had a job in his life. Or if he did, he worked for his dad's company. Because we're told that the only job he could find was to feed pigs. You know, that to me tells me this is not a guy who has very much experience or qualified. But when we go further, it tells us just how desperate his situation was. It says he wished that he could eat the food that he was feeding the pigs. Now, I am grateful to say I've never been that hungry. That I look at my dog and say, man, I wish I could eat your food. So I can't relate to that. But I can imagine just how desperate you are. You know, so he says, I'm going to go back and see my dad. And I'm going to ask my dad if I can be his servant. And when I read this parable, I've heard it many times. For the first time, I realized something. This son still did not understand how much his dad loved him. Because he was going to go back and ask his dad to be his servant. You know, my kids, no matter what they do, no matter how many mistakes they make, it doesn't matter. They come to me and need my help, I'm there. Yeah. You know, that doesn't mean there's not consequences for choices, depending what happened. But I am there. I will never walk away from them. You know, and as I ask that question, why does God love me? I ask myself, why do I love my kids? You know, there's nothing I wouldn't do for them. Our Heavenly Father is the same way. No matter how many times we turn our backs on Him, no matter how many times we go a different direction, now how many times we're doing those hidden sins that we think no one knows about, when we finally fall on our knees and say, God, I am sorry. I need you. He doesn't come and say, well, okay, but first. God doesn't come to him and say, well, I told you so. He comes up with outstretched hands. He's waiting for us. If we go back to Luke 20, starting with verse 20, so he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, he threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robes and put it on him. Put on a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf or veggie cow. And, you know, set up a feast. About 3 weeks ago, there was a Pathfinder Adventure Campery out here at Camp Hope. Yes. And so my daughter's a Pathfinder. My other daughter is an adventurer, and I was staff working at the camp doing the audio. And their mom was there with them at the camp. Well, Sunday afternoon, we were having a free time. We're having dinner, and I met with Church in the Valley adventurers. And I was watching Izzy and some other adventurers while her mom was having a break. And we're eating, and you can hear the kids playing, and everything's going great. You know, and as we do, when we're talking to people, we get engrossed in our conversations. I'm just talking to parents. About 20, 25 minutes go by, and it just dawned on me, I don't hear Izzy's voice. I don't hear any kids. And I looked at the parents, and I go, do you know where the kids are? No. So I got up. I see some of the adventurers, and I say, do you know where Isabella is? I think she's over there. Now keep in mind, these are 4, 5, 6, 7-year-olds. So they take me there, and then we go look over here, and then we go look over here, and I'm like, nope. I'm getting worried, and I don't want to have to call her mom and say I lost her. So I'm getting really worried. And I'm like, okay, let's go check the playground at Camp Hope. Now, there's this little girl at church named Briar. She's 5. She's the cutest little thing, and she comes and grabs my hand and says, all right, let's go. We're going to go find her. Okay. Yes, I call her trouble. And so she grabs my hand, and we're starting to walk around, and Briar goes, they went up there. I go, no, they would never go up there. There's a, up the mountain, there's this road, and it kind of goes around. I've never been up there. And I said, no, she wouldn't go up there. So we're walking this way. And then I hear kids. And as they come around the corner, I see this little boy and a little girl. And then I see Izzy. And they're all running as fast as they can down this hill. I'm happy. I go up to her. I give her a hug. I said, you scared me. I was also glad that we wouldn't have to call mom. And, but you know, I threw my arms around her. I hugged her. And then I said, don't do that again. You know, this father in the parable, the Bible doesn't tell us how long his son was gone. But it must have been a while. And the Bible also doesn't tell this, but as a father, I could imagine that every morning he came out and looked at that road to see if his son was coming. It could have been months, it could have been years that his son was gone. If he had the wealth that we think he did, it probably was a while. But I could see the father looking at him, looking out there. And if you read the scripture carefully, it says that while he was still off in the distance, meaning the son hadn't even seen the father yet, but the father had seen the son. And he starts going to him. And he starts running. And then the son sees his father. And they run and they embrace and they hug. And yet, even at that moment, the son goes, Father, I'm sorry. May I be a servant? Even at this point, the son still does not understand the love the father has for them. And I find that very important. Because that's us. How many times do we not understand how much God loves for us? You know, we've heard it. Jesus came. He died on the cross. We celebrate Easter. We celebrate Christmas. We know all the stories. But how often do we really, really realize how much he loved us? So, it's funny, because like I said, I struggled with this for a little bit. And yet, when I told Izzy, don't yell it out, why does God love us? She told me the answer in seconds. So, from the mouth of babes.
Because he made us.
All right. You weren't supposed to say that.
Amen.
All right, so she got to the punchline, but we're still going to get there. So why do I love my kids? Well, because their mom and I created them. But here's the irony. Before we had kids, we knew it was going to be expensive. We knew there were going to be sacrifices. We knew there was going to be frustration. We knew there were days we'd want to pull our hair out. I already got to that. But despite knowing all that, we still created them. And sometimes we don't create them once, but twice, and three times, four times, five times. But why do we do that? Because we love them. The joy they bring us. The love that they share with us. We can't put a price on it, and so we create them, even though we know there are trials that come with us. So why does God love us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit all knew that creating us was going to be expensive, tiring, challenging. I mean, God knew he was going to give up his son. His son knew he was going to give up his life. The Holy Spirit knew he's going to take his presence away from Jesus when he's on the cross. Knowing all of that, they still decided to create us. Why? We read the scripture text, John 3:16. And I'm just going to read again. I'm reading from the new NIV, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. So Jesus, God, knew how expensive it was going to be to create us, to make us. So why does God love us? Because he made us. Why do we love our kids? Because we made them. And I was putting this sermon together, a light bulb came in, and I guess I get it. I get it. It's because you made us. Because that's how much you care about us. The title of the sermon is what I want to end with. We are his chosen. Amen. It doesn't matter when you make mistakes, sin, wander away. He is waiting like the Father in the story of the parable of the Son. He is waiting, hands outstretched, just waiting for us to come back to him. No judgment, nothing. He's waiting for us. Why? Because we are his chosen. Bow our heads. I'm going to include a prayer request that just came in as well. To Heavenly Father, thank you that you created us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you're merciful and grateful and gracious. Father, I pray for this person's mom who needs prayer. Pray for this family friend whose family is going through a rough time, Father. And I also pray for this individual who's praying for herself to help her get through her depression. Father, we also lift up everyone else who's suffering and hurting. Everyone who's here and not here. Be with us this coming week. Help us to make you first in our lives and know that you are with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.